Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And I had to ask myself why. As I drove home Thursday evening, heading down a dirt road, looking at the countryside, I thought of that desolate place, and I began to ponder why. Why had Jesus suggested that they go to a desolate place when he probably knew full well that they would be followed? Why did he spend the day teaching when he needed to rest? And why didn't Jesus take his disciples' advice and just send everybody home to fend for themselves and have supper? Was this just so he could do another miracle? Or was there something I was missing? Was there something more, something else? And as I thought, as I drove down that dirt road, I came to think, well, he made a promise. Jesus had made a promise. He had made a promise to those folks as he had made to us when he made his covenant with Abraham centuries ago. A promise that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky. In that promise to Abraham, Jesus made a promise to all mankind, and that included the folks in our gospel reading today. And as I pondered their recognizing Jesus and their running to meet him, I'm reminded of those old Western movies that I like to watch. You know, the ones that are, well, there's bad guys, and they usually run in gangs. And there's a sheriff, and he needs help, so he organizes a posse. And the posses, they're always going after the gangs, and it seems that the plan is always to head them off at the pass. Except that the folks in our gospel reading today, they didn't have a sheriff to organize them, so they just ran. The text says when they saw Jesus, they just ran on foot as fast as they could from all the towns and the villages, and they got there ahead of him. They had indeed headed Jesus and his gang of disciples off at the pass. If these folks had been among the legends of the Old West, they might have gone down in history as the legendary sheriffless posse. But they are not part of the legends of the Old West. These are real people. And they lived in a real place in biblical history. And so when Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them because they were a shepherdless posse. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion on them, for though in the time of the judges, they had rejected him as king and ruler of their lives, or at least their ancestors had. Still, he had made a promise. And Jesus always keeps his promises. We hear this very promise proclaimed in our Old Testament reading, where after the Lord had pronounced woe on those unfaithful rulers, he speaks through Jeremiah words of comfort for the faithful of all times and in all places, saying, "I will gather the remnant of my flock," still calling them his flock, still calling you his flock. "I will bring them back to their fold, and I will set shepherds over them, and they will care for them." To be sure, Jesus feeding that great crowd that was equal or greater to the population of our fair city, to be sure, this is one of the most amazing and well-known miracles of the Bible. This miraculous feeding was something that only God can do. This miracle was just one of many miracles that showed that the Lord had indeed raised up from the line of David a righteous branch in Jesus. He is the Christ. He shall reign as king. He shall deal wisely. And he shall restore justice and righteousness in the earth. But why here? This was a desolate place. And why now? Disciples had just come back from their missionary journey. Jesus himself had said to them, "You must be exhausted." I'm paraphrasing a bit there. for they had wasted no time in telling him all that they had done and all that they had said. They had gone out as he had instructed them, taking nothing with them for the journey. They had done the things that he had given them authority to do. The text says that they had proclaimed that people should repent. They cast out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick, and they were healed, all the while trusting Jesus to give them each day their daily bread. In these things, Jesus was fulfilling the promise that he made. In these things, Jesus was fulfilling the promise proclaimed by Jeremiah. He was preparing the disciples to be set as shepherds over his flock. And so as that great crowd spent the day being taught by Jesus, Jesus prepared a teachable moment for his disciples. So when the moment was right, when Jesus' disciples said to him, send him away I'm going to paraphrase this a bit, so that they can get food for themselves, so that they can feed themselves, he said, you give them something. When he did that, he was taking them or preparing them to be taken to the next level. The 12 had experienced firsthand the Lord's provision of food and shelter as they went, but they numbered only 12, and they had been split into groups of two. They had trusted the Lord to provide bread through the hands of those in whose houses they stayed, and they were not disappointed. But this was different. This was a great crowd, and this was a desolate place. And the people had brought nothing for the journey. But that's the point. Jesus was preparing the 12 to set as shepherds over his flock. In the things that followed, they would learn to trust the Lord in the big things as they had learned to trust him in the small things. And I can almost hear Jesus saying to them, okay, watch closely. This is how it's done. In all things great and small, this is how it's done. From the hand of the Lord to the hand of the shepherd to the hand of the people. Jesus commanded them all to sit in groups on the green grass. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked into heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. From the hand of the Lord to the hand of the shepherd to the hand of the people. From the days of Samuel, the people had rejected the Lord as king, asking instead for an earthly king. And as the Lord warned that no earthly king could care for them like he cares, they didn't seem to listen to him. To be sure, there have been rulers like Josiah in last week's reading in the northern kingdom that did their best to be faithful, and the Lord, with the Lord's help and blessing, the people prospered. But as Amos had rebuked the reigning king of the time of the northern kingdom in last week's reading, so also in today's reading, Jeremiah teaches that some earthly kings are motivated only by greed and selfish pride. They rule by means of fear and terrorism and violence and oppression. So for me today, I hear the promise of God as prophesied by Jeremiah, demonstrated in Jesus' miracle. Jesus is king. He is Lord. He is the original king over Israel. And he still cares for his scattered flock. He still cares for you and me by gathering them back to the fold, his fold, by teaching them, by feeding them, and by preparing proper shepherds to set over the flock. Jesus continues to keep his promise never to leave you or forsake you. Have you ever wondered how people get through life without that? Have you ever wondered how people endure the troubles of life without the Lord in their lives? In what do they place their hope? In all our readings, indeed in all of Scripture, Jesus is restoring hope to people who, at the hand of oppressive and violent shepherds, had lost all hope. And that remnant of his flock that the Lord was gathering from every country where he had driven them, the lost sheep of Israel, that the promise that he would bring them back to their fold, that promise is for you. To be sure, Jeremiah was prophesying of a time when the Lord would gather the exiled remnant and bring them back to their homeland. And he kept that promise. But his promise didn't stop there. Even after Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, his promise remains, ever restoring hope to those who have no hope. Like when false shepherds had divided the Ephesian Christians, destroying hope and pushing their lie that faith is incomplete without the mark of the original covenant. Trying to convince others that, well, you need to be like me. Faith in Jesus wasn't enough in their minds unless one had the mark of circumcision. As apostle to the Gentiles, Paul was set as shepherd over the Lord's flock in Ephesus and in other surrounding territories. And he would proclaim woe upon those who deal in falsehood. And he would speak words of hope to those who are left in fear and dismay because of those who dealt in falsehood. So Paul spoke words of comfort to the faithful, saying, when you heard the truth, when you believed that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead, when you believed in him, at that very moment, you were sealed with the promise of God's Holy Spirit. Your salvation is guaranteed. This next part is my favorite part. Paul says to the believers, I have heard of your faith in Jesus. I do not cease in giving thanks for you. I remember you in my prayers, that the Lord may give you the spirit of wisdom, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, that you may know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. God not only loves you, he is powerful enough to do something about it. I say this is my favorite part because though we may at times behave like a shepherdless posse, nevertheless, we are not shepherdless. When troubles come, when false shepherds destroy and scatter, you need not fear or be dismayed. For we have a shepherd set over us. His name is Jesus. And he is good. He cares about every detail of your life. And he knows everything you're going through. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, and have come, declares the Lord, when he will raise up for David a righteous branch. Having suffered and died on a cross, Jesus has indeed been raised up. And the enemy, the devil, and his gang have indeed been headed off at the pass. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. When he looks at you, he has compassion on you because he cares. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to please stand as we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.